Hello and welcome to Outside In. I'm John Burns, and this is my podcast for outdoor folk. My guest today, I think, has the very rare distinction of being the highest high altitude record holder for toilet cleaning in the British Isles. I don't think there's anybody else can compete with him. Quite an impressive qualification. He's a trustee of the Mountain Bothies Association, and I reckon knows more about bothies than most people around. So without any further ado, I introduce Neil Reed. Hi, Neil, how are you?
Hi, John, not too bad, but I've got to correct you there.
Oh dear, what have I done now?
I don't know more about bothies than anybody in the UK. Cairngorm bothies, yeah, maybe as much as some, but once you get outside the Cairngorms, it's a foreign country to me. I'm not convinced there's hills and bothies out there, really.
I did forget that actually you only have a pass for the Cairngorms. You're not really allowed anywhere else in Scotland or in England. I'd forgotten that, really.
Yeah. I sneak out now and then.
Very good. Tell me, how did you become involved in the bothy world then?
At a very young age, my father took me to Carrower Bothy when I was 10 years old. For listeners who don't know, the Carrower Bothy is in the Cairngorms, halfway through the Larrigrue. He took me there when I was 10, and I was just really blown away by the idea. It was like a gang hut for grown-ups.
That's a very good description.
He explained to me that anybody could come and stay there, and you know, in those days it wasn't frowned upon to leave bits of food and that for the next person coming along.
Aye.
And we left a tin of beans, and I'd always had this picture in the head of some starving mountaineer coming upon that tin of beans and it's saving his life. And it was years before it occurred to me that why were we carrying a tin of beans in our rucksack? It's something we never did carry. So, you know, the old man had taken it just so that we could leave it.
It got
me sold in the idea of bothies. And ever since then, I've used them. Sometime around the late 70s into the 80s, I heard rumours of an organisation called the MBA. At that time, it was, I think, through circumstance rather than choice, it was pretty much a secret organization. Nobody really knew much about it. Gradually, it became better known. And coincidentally, I got involved about 15 years ago now in the renovation of Carrower Bothy. And it was through that I came properly into contact with the MBA, and after volunteering a few times, I took the big step and joined, and it's been downhill ever since to keep making it come back, do things, and sign up to be trustee and nonsense like that.
Oh, right. I mean, well, the Carrower Bothy that you're talking about, now that when, if you went there when you were a boy, that would have been the old corral, wouldn't it? That would have been an earth floor and no wood lining. A pretty rough building, really. Is that right?
Yeah, it was. Carrower was done up in 1949-1950 by the Cairngorm Club. Before then, it had been quite literally falling into ruin. So they stabilised it, put a new roof on, and basically saved it for the future. But what they created was still very, very basic.
Yes, it was.
You say, it had an earth floor then. It was subsequently concreted, I think, when the NBA took it over. I'm not sure about the timing of that. But yeah, it was a pretty basic place. That's where all the Cairngorm bodies in those days.
Well, it has it now has the distinction of having, I think, its own toilets, doesn't it? Which goes back to my introduction of you as one, being one of the people, I should say. You're not the only person, but one of the people who has the unenviable task of cleaning those toilets out. That's correct, isn't it?
Yeah, there's a few of us involved. Myself and Neil Finlay have been involved since the renovation. Basically, high altitude lavvy attendants, that's us. it's a very, very well used bothy, very well used toilet, so it really needs a lot of attention to keep it maintained, and it's not always spotless clean, but we keep it as clean as we can under circumstances.
Yeah, my listeners, if you're not familiar with Corral Bothy, and I don't know whether you know this, Neil, but under the latest version of Google Earth, not only can you go and have a look at the Bothy, but you can actually stand in the toilets. I didn't know you knew. Did you know that?
I didn't know that.
No. Yeah, you can. You can. It's a rather surreal experience, I have to say. So if you want to go and have a look at it without the long walk in, then you certainly can. But you've been doing some work. Renovating is not the right word. Rebuilding the Bothy in the Cairngorms recently. Is that that's right, isn't it?
Yeah, that's the Red House, Rui Elsie, as it used to be called. It's on the Geldie, just a wee bit south of the White Bridge and the River Dee.
So that's like between Glenfeshie and Carrar, is that right, in a way?
Yeah. You could come, if you came up Glenfeshie from the Aviemore side, you would come out round about the Red House.
And then you could
head north to Carrar.
Yeah.
You could head east to Braemar, or you could head south to Lerathal.
So the Red House is going to be quite a strategic bothy in a way, because it'll allow sort of bothy to bothy trips through the Cairngorms, won't it?
Yeah, it's also in a quite a large area that doesn't have any bothies at the moment.
Right.
So, and you know, there are well trodden routes, Feshie, Larrigue, Glendee, Glentilt. You know, they're very popular routes. So I think it will be a busy bothy, and that's why one of the first things we've done in the renovation is build a toilet.
I did know. I guess you're going to say that somehow. Yeah. You do seem to have a certain passion for altitude toilets. But obviously, this has been a major, well, a rebuild build, really, hasn't it?
Yeah, it has really. It's been a very long road to get where we are now. I was at a meeting between the MBA and Mar Lodge Estate way back in 2016, when they first offered the building to us. And it's taken that long to go through all the planning processes, to get the necessary permissions. And of course, COVID intervened and added a year onto everything. But yeah, this year, we've built the toilet block, so it's actually in operation just now. There was some pretty serious masonry work needing done, because the main building was very close to collapse.
Right.
So we had to get a specialist mason in to do that safely. He stopped for the winter now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can work.
But he's finished the main work in there now. There's still some odds and sods to do. But next year, all going well, we should have the place finished. And
wow, open. That'd be amazing. That'd be that'd be a really significant bothy, I think. I'll certainly have to pop over. I might manage to pop over this year. Who knows? Or maybe early next year, if we get a decent winter. You mentioned COVID, and like a lot of institutions, you know, Bothies have been through a sort of unprecedented period. Really, they were closed for many, many months, and I think there was amongst the Bothian community, which is probably a relatively small community, but a very passionate community. There was a lot of concern, I think, that there was going to be a sort of explosion of people visiting Bothies once the restrictions were over. But has that actually happened?
Yes and no.
No, go on then.
I think there's possibly been a slight rise. Numbers going to Bothies, there's a perception that they've been really shooting up these last few years. I don't know how true that is. Some Bothies certainly are seeing a lot of use. Some have been having problems because of that. But you know, you can go to some Bothies and you can rattle around. Even on a good weekend, you can be on your own there.
Yes.
It depends on the Bothy and on people. You know, I mean, I once went to Sheila na Mark for New Year. It was bound to be quiet, only there were about a dozen people there. Sheila na Mark is about the size, maybe slightly bigger than your average garden shed. So, you know, it was an interesting New Year.
Yeah. One of the few Bothies I've not been to, actually. I know. I think that the what's happened about with Mountain Bothies possibly echoes what's actually happened in terms of the general outdoor usage. In that, I think what my experience is that, if you like, if you call certain areas, perhaps like Glencoe and like the North Coast 500, as sort of the honeypots of sort of tourism in the Highlands, they have attracted, you know, very high visitor numbers. Whilst actually other areas, you know, I go to Sutherland and places like that. If you go to the middle of Sutherland, there is nobody there. And it seems that people are focused. So I guess I suppose places like Karawa and other very popular Bothies have perhaps had a disproportionate impact. Do you think that's right?
Possibly. I'm trying to give easy, simple answers here, John, but I don't know if there are.
No, there aren't. No.
Karawa has always been a busy Bothy. If you look, Rolf Storer just published a book about Karawa and its history.
Right.
This year it celebrated 100 years as a Bothy. It's probably the oldest or the longest used as a Bothy of all the Scottish Bothies.
Oh, I didn't know that. Right, okay.
So Rolf's book goes into, delves very deeply into the surviving Bothy visitors book.
Right.
And they show a surprisingly consistent tale. You know, everything that people moan about now, they were moaning about back in the 20s and 30s.
Right, okay.
Sorry, the 1920s.
Yes.
So I don't know how much things have changed. Numbers go up and down.
Yeah.
I think Bothies have been in danger of not being used enough. Because lightweight tents now are cheap, but they're certainly a lot cheaper than they were.
The
tent is, it's more convenient. You can put it where you want it rather than have to build your plans around a geographical location.
Yes, that's right.
It's also a lot of people nowadays just don't like sharing with other people.
No.
When I started going to Bothy's, well, in the 70s in any meaningful sense, part of the experience of going to Bothy was meeting the other people.
Yes, that's right.
Sometimes you see, especially in social media, some folks seem to be surprised that there's other folk there, even though they heard about the Bothy on social media.
Yes, that's right. Well, I think that's a very good point, actually, because I get I'm one of the few people who can claim to have been around even longer than you have. And I can remember there was a certainly in the 70s, say when I began to, exploring the outdoors, there was perhaps a much stronger sense of an outdoor community than there maybe is now. And I think you're right in the sense that lightweight tents didn't exist when I started wandering about. We humped this great big heavy canvas thing around with us, and although you could do it, it wasn't exactly an easy thing to do. But now that there are also different ways of using the hills. There's mountain biking, where perhaps you can cover a longer distance than you could on foot. And one of the things that interested me, I met his name escapes me now, but one of the rangers in Cairngorms a few years ago, and he we got talking about this, and he said that the shelter stone that is a sort of makeshift shelter not that far from Corral, and that had a visitor's book, and one new year, I think in the 50s, there was about 50 folk in there. But now you probably wouldn't get anyone there until November, till February. So I like you, I'm not convinced that actually we have had this explosion of people using bothies. Does that sound about right, you think?
Yeah, I think so. Like I say, some bothies are seeing a lot of use. Tends to be the more accessible ones, but
Yes.
not necessarily.
No, no.
There's some that are quite accessible that don't seem to be too busy, and others, it's the circumstances. Like Karawar is not the most accessible of
No,
bothies,
no, no, certainly not.
but it's halfway through the Larrig
Yeah,
and
yeah, yeah.
with a number of Munros, it is one of the busiest.
Yes, well, it would,
So
yeah.
each bothy really has its own circumstances, and that's what affects the usage as well.
Well, yeah, I mean, the development of things like long distance trails has made a big impact. I mean, I think is it Kanban is on the Afrik Trail that is obviously created, and that's I think there's been a fairly big impact on that place, and also places like Mulbooey, which is a very remote bothy, really perhaps one of the most remote bothies there is. But the Cape Roth Trail, which is a long sort of route that rambles right the way up to Cape Roth, in fact, surprisingly enough. Mulbooey, I think if you go there and look in the book there, the vast majority of people who use that bothy actually are on that trail, and even places like Strathcaliac up in the far north, again that's on that trail. And if you read the bothy book there, as I did about a year ago, pretty well everybody uses it is on that trail. So certainly things like that do seem to affect it.
I think what we're seeing is there's a big effect from social media here,
Yeah,
and not
definitely.
necessarily in the way that you first assume, because there's a lot of noise about bothies,
Yes.
but a lot of the people who are talking about them all the time aren't necessarily going all the time.
No, that's right. That's right.
A lot of people start telling people what bothies are about who haven't necessarily been to a lot of bothies.
Sure.
One of my pet hates, which arises periodically on Facebook, is
Now's your chance. Get it
now's my chance.
in.
It's the people who decry people for using bothies just it's a destination to go to. And they say, look, bodies are there as emergency refuges. That's all they should be used for. And that's utter codswallop.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, that was never the case.
See how I restrained my language there?
I did notice that. Yeah. My hand was on the mute. It's all right.
But no, bodies, there are one or two bodies were built as emergency refuges.
Yes, yes, yes.
But bodies didn't evolve like that at all. There were places, they were basically abandoned buildings that people decided to doss in, whether they were going up hills, whether they were cycling, whether they were just going away for the weekend to get away for a bit of peace and quiet, or hesitate to say it, but or to go away and get drunk with our mates.
Never.
That's where bodies started. If you,
yeah, yeah.
If you look at, again, to go back to Rolf Storrow's book, because it covers 100 years of bothying.
Yeah, yeah.
The people who were using the bothy then are the same people now.
Yes, you know, that's right, that's right.
Some of them just went there because they'd heard of the bothy. Some of them were going to climb hills. Some of them were walking through the Larrig. Some did seem to be there for the party. You know, it's all sorts of people use bothies for all sorts of reasons, and that's the way it's always been.
I think that's right.
Enough to try and, you know.
I think to be honest, that people remain pretty much the same, basically, and the way we use areas, there will be some change. Yes, there's been some publicity, but I think at one point bothies were the sort of flavor of the month for the press for a while, but it'll be roller skates next, and they'll move on to something else, you know, and yeah. Bothies will get forgotten again and the truth is that, you know, to go to a bothy, you've still got to be prepared to probably walk a reasonable distance carrying all your food and stuff on the back. It's likely to be wet, cold, and uncomfortable. It's, you know, it's never gonna be mass media.
You know how to sell it, John.
I do. I spend most of my time trying to put people off bothies. But yeah, I mean, the one thing I think perhaps has changed slightly is the sort of, and I think it's an internet thing, like you say, it's the sort of bucket list idea. And a lot of people have on their bucket list, visit a bothy. And I think that's fine. There's no reason why they shouldn't do that. But you do get, as we have done in various different parts of the countryside with people wild camping, maybe, who are not that experienced at doing it and don't know the sort of the etiquette about, you know, where you got what you do when you got the toilet and that sort of stuff. That's caused issues, I think. But again, it's actually probably going to be a relatively small phenomena. I mean, I don't know, well, who knows how much, you know, the pandemic's going to affect things. It may be that the days of popping into a bothy and mixing with people overnight who you don't know and who may have had a variety of different contacts are limited. I just don't know. None of us do.
No, I think that's something that we'll only really find out in due course. Mm-hmm. I know... you know, when COVID restrictions were relaxed and when people were able to get back to bothies, some, of course, had been going all along.
Yes, yes, there were a few. Not me, I stationed to
it. More of all the guidelines. But, you know, when people were able to legitimately go back to bothies, there were some who, you know, you couldn't have held them back with wild horses.
Yes, yes, that's right.
But, you know, there's others are being extra careful. Some are still going to bothies, but taking tents more often.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, I have had a night in Crower, which was followed by a Facebook message from someone who hitherto had been a stranger.
Oh, right.
Who indicated that I might want to get a COVID test because one of his mates had just come down.
Oh, great. Okay.
So, yeah. You know, COVID hasn't gone away.
No.
As everybody's fond of saying. So, It's something that you still need to be aware of, and we still don't really know how it's going to affect bodies long term.
No,
I
no.
would hate to think that folk would stop using bodies
Well,
because.
yes, I so would I. I mean, I think that it's bothy usage is an important cultural thing as much as anything else, I think.
Yeah, I
And
mean, I would.
it's the social element that you've been talking about, which you don't get anywhere else, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I've spent so many nights in bothies. People from literally every corner of the world. I had a night in Crewe once with a Swiss solar physicist, and her pal, who was, quote, an ordinary nuclear physicist. And I've spent nights with the former post office robbers, with former police inspectors.
Yeah, everybody. Yeah.
I met somebody from Luxembourg once.
Not
How often do you do that?
very often, though.
But it's not just the variety of people, it's the way people. And it sounds like an idealistic cliche, but sometimes you'll have bad experiences in a body,
Sure,
but
sure.
more often, you're pleasurably surprised by people. I've seen
Yes.
incredible acts of generosity and kindness, people
Yes.
sharing. Sometimes there's not a lot of food, but they'll share it.
Yeah,
Seen
yeah.
people give complete strangers a dry set of clothes. I mean, stuff that you don't see happening anywhere other than bosses, really.
No, that's right. And it's things like, people there's been a long tradition of storytelling in well, nationally, really, but it also it was a Highland thing. But actually, I think one of the few places that storytelling still exists is in bothies round the fire, because there's not a lot else to do. So people tend to have a few drams and talk a load of bullshit. And but that is storytelling, and that's what it's about,
Yeah.
I mean, it is interesting. It has changed things because it's changed, my desperation for getting out. And I've been in some ways become a convert to the hot tent, as you know. So because that's like my mobile bothy. And that's been great because it's taken me different places. So and I probably I think I will, I have been going to bothies since the restrictions were lifted, but I'm still a little bit cautious. Just for one point before we kind of wind it up, I suppose, is the presumably the NBA has guidance on its website about using bothies in the pandemic. Is that right?
If you're going to put me in the spot, no, I can't remember what it is. But basically, it is to remember that COVID hasn't gone away,
Right. Okay.
to take whatever precautions that you feel fit. And I mean, it's a hard thing to say, but if you're not happy with the other people in the bothy, then you might want to consider going into a tent.
Yeah, that's right.
Something
So
because
there are alternatives. Yeah.
bosses do rely on people being considerate to one another,
Yes.
and sometimes people have different standards of what consideration is.
Ah.
And it's always going to come down to compromise or get out,
Yeah.
which sounds very unfriendly, but it is, there's a tiny minority of cases where it comes to that,
That's right. That's right. I mean, I've spent many, many nights in bothies, and I can only think of two or three occasions where I felt, well, that wasn't particularly pleasant, you know?
yeah.
That's it's a rare thing, really.
You were mentioning your hot tent. I can't say too much against it because I have tried out your hot tent and it was great.
Okay.
But several years ago, one of the regulars at Bob Scott's had this brilliant idea that we would sort of club together and take out a lease on one of the buildings in Mar Lodge Estate,
Right.
which she said would be great because it would mean there'd be no strangers coming in and annoying us.
Yeah.
And it sounded like a great idea. It sounded like, you know, a more robust version of a hot tent.
Okay.
But we thought about it for not very long, and we decided that it wasn't that good an idea, because really what we liked about the bothy was the fact that other folk kept coming in.
Yeah. You're trying to tell me I'm antisocial, Neil. Is that what you...
Yeah.
I'm getting that impression, you know.
No, I think it's just, you know, folk go on about bothies as, like I said, some think they're just there for emergency accommodation.
Yeah.
A lot of people, they seem to look on the MBA as providing a service, as in, you know, we're providing these bothies for people to stay in, and we are. But to me, bothies is more than just a building, more than just free accommodation. It is, as we mentioned earlier, it's a social thing and it's a cultural thing.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's really just something that's very precious and really needs to be looked after.
Well, yeah, I mean, maybe I'm wrong, but let's be optimistic. Let's say that in less than 5 years' time, COVID and this pandemic will just be a memory, and I think that you know, bothying has a strong future actually, and will keep going. It may change slightly, but I think that the opportunity for folk to go into pretty wild places and experience a simple sort of night beside a fire is something that is extremely valuable. And I really respect the MBA for making that possible, and for the countless hours of work that people put in voluntarily, which I think that something that the whole of the outdoor community should be grateful for. And I wanted to thank all of them and yourself for the work that you've put in.
Yeah, well, if I could just say one more thing, John, and that's, yeah, the outdoor community probably should be grateful for all we're doing, but it's good fun. You know, I've had the most incredible amount of pleasure over the years out there volunteering at bothies. And I'm sure every voluntary organization does this, but I just wish folk would come along and join in. Because, you know, we can get money to do projects, but it's people who actually do the work. And it's not necessarily qualified tradesmen we're looking for.
No.
Anybody can, you know, we can find a use for just about anybody. So if you have a notion to get involved in looking after bothies, doesn't have to be a huge commitment. You could come along to one work party. But, you know, do it. Give it a go. Hopefully,
right, so it's
a very friendly and welcoming reception.
Right. So, I mean, so people are so you're obviously keen for people to come along. I mean, obviously, I think things have been a bit tight because of COVID in recent work parties. But now we're hoping that we'll in future we'll be able to make them much more open affairs. Is that right?
Yeah. I mean, we were very restricted this
year.
With numbers.
But,
you know, we're finding ways to work around things.
Good.
For work parties, we tend to sleep in tents rather than the
yes.
office itself.
Yes. Yeah.
And, you know, work is allocated so that people aren't all curried in together.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So, you know, there's ways around these things, and work is very definitely, since the end of the main restrictions, it's very definitely been picking up again.
Good.
A lot of projects on the go, not just in the Cairngorms.
There are other places are available.
A lot of places are available, yes.
I understand that, that's right. Well, look, I tell you what I'd love to do. I don't know if you're going to have an official opening of the Red House or whatever, but I think what would be great was would be for me to come and record a podcast actually at the Red House and at the opening and talk to yourself and maybe some of the other volunteers that we could share a dram or two and celebrate the place's opening. How does that sound?
Yeah, that could be arranged, John.
Thank you very much.
I'm also sure we could arrange something for Kolrabotty when it finally reopens. Because that is on the cards again now.
Oh, right. I mean, that's really good. That's a bothy that was closed many years ago because of asbestos, wasn't it?
That's the one, yeah.
Oh, that'd be great. Oh, well no, that's a good piece of news I didn't know.
Sorry, I thought you knew that, John.
No, I didn't know. I don't know everything, you know. It always comes as a shock to me. Anyway, Neil, it's been fascinating talking to you. Those are events to look forward to, and I wish you all the best, you and the NBA. Thanks very much for talking to me.
Thanks for having me, John. Cheers.
Well, thanks very much for coming along to meet Neil Reed and I in the virtual bothy. I think you could almost smell the wood smoke there, couldn't you? Neil mentioned Ralph Storer's book, Carol Bothy, a number of occasions there. So if you want to find out more about Carol or Bothies in general, I'll put a link to that book on the page. And if you're interested in Bothies, then obviously, dare I mention it, there's my own book, Bothy Tales, which is a collection of lies from Bothies, really. And also, if you want to get involved with Bothies, you'd like to visit a Bothy, I'll put a link to the Mountain Bothies Association website. And on there, you can find out about how to join them, how to contribute, how to get involved in work parties. And there's even a location map which tells you how to find Bothies. I've been John Burns, and I hope you've enjoyed Outside In. I'm recording this at the beginning of December. I hope you all have a very good Christmas. Thanks very much for listening. Bye-bye.